This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Psalm 139 is where we're going to start. Psalm 139, read a couple of sections here. Have a word of prayer, read you another, or have you turn to another passage after a prayer, and we'll go from there. Psalm 139, begin here in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now go over to verse 11. You would. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul, my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the content of your word. We pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. For that to happen, two things need to occur. First, we need to be saved. This is a spiritually discerned book. You know that. You wrote that for us. And so therefore, we might be able to ascertain the words that are printed in the book, but not the meaning. And so we would ask that if there's anyone here without Christ, they would understand their spiritual condition and come to Him, not just so they can understand your book, but for the forgiveness of sins and overcoming the wages of sin being death. And for that to happen, they cannot work, they cannot earn, they cannot manipulate, manufacture. They must believe on what Christ has done, your only begotten Son has done. Believe, maybe in contrast to what they've been taught before, they need to change their mind about that and come to receive Christ as their Savior. So we ask that you speak to each and every heart here tonight. The message is to people who profess to be saved. And we just ask for the Holy Spirit to move among us. And I ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jeremiah 17 is the other passage. Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse 9. You should know this by now. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not you, not me. The Lord knows it, but you don't know your own heart. You don't know the capability of your own heart, and neither do I. So, while most people in our country are obsessed with themselves and regard the subject of, I'll start with the word slavery, as a blight on the past, modern human slavery is growing faster than most businesses in the world combined. And there are over 30 million people, women, girls, boys, men, enslaved in one manner or another in the world today. That not including the 15 million forced marriages that occur every year. The United States Department of Health and Human Services reported that human trafficking is now the second largest criminal history, second only to the drug industry. That's scary. Most of us, you know, we'd say, yeah, drugs are really bad. Number two, human trafficking. Traffickers are predators. I don't want to be overly harsh, but this is a harsh message. But I have to tell that they are predators. There's no question of that. Preying on the vulnerable and the available. Forcing into labor, a lot of times child labor, very dominant in Asia on a large variety of ways and jobs, obviously. Forcing or coercing into immorality. When I was young in the faith, I remember reading about, actually it was before I was saved. I was out in Hollywood, California, working with a photojournalist. And there was a lot of articles going around and dangers that were in Hollywood then that I had no idea about. But children were, especially boys, were disappearing, young boys. And then it came to light eventually that these boys were taken and used for pornographic means, making films, and then killed and buried. All of that has gone silent in our liberated country of sin. And we don't hear much about that. Doesn't mean that it's not happening. It means you're not hearing it. But I think it's still going on. And so these are things that are going on. So predators use physical force. They use economic and psychological restraint to control and deception, of course, to get the people and then control their victims. They deny, they demean, even destroy the value and dignity of human life. You go back and read Psalm 139 again, and you see that there is value and dignity to life. Right? These people have none of that. None whatsoever. And they exploit for financial gain, emotional control, or even sensual pleasure. Many of these people are sold. Most of the human trafficking is sex slaves, but not all of it. The mental manipulation is common to enable them to redefine value in life itself. So go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to go through a few scriptural passages here and say a few more things. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me make sure I've got the Timothys right here. I do. Okay. But we know that 1 Timothy 1:8. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. All right. Now, I use that to get into something that happens in the middle there, and it's really talking about kidnapping, enslaving, And it's an evil thing, whether it's physical or of the mind. And unjust restraint or abuse of any kind is just absolutely sin. And fortunately in many countries, but unfortunately not so much in some places, criminal. So go with me to Deuteronomy 24, based on that. Deuteronomy chapter 24, under the law, said that the law was made not for a righteous man, but an unrighteous man. So we really should say, well, all right, what does the law say concerning that? Law, Deuteronomy 24, look at verse 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from among you. So the taking of one human life, even though you didn't take the life itself, and stealing them, kidnapping them, and making merchandise of them was punishable by death. It still should be that way. But it's not. And in many places, it's being allowed. All right, Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and let's look down here at verse 8. Isaiah 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And now, speaking about Israel, there's something that's right in there about robbery for burnt offering. I believe that we're talking in a practical application. God hates all forms of abuse for injustice through any means. And as a result of that, will bring judgment as an absolute necessity. It may not happen today, but it's coming. He hates it. People are quick to say things that God hates. One of them, God hates divorce. Of course he does, but he also hates this. And whether we're, you know, any injustice that's done to another person. All right, so on the basis of that, John chapter 3, you already know this verse. I don't know that you need to turn there. If you don't, then we'll go to chapter 8. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, and everybody else, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's very important that you understand that, so that you can understand what follows. In John chapter 8, I want you to look down here in verse 31. And then verse 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is forever. But salvation is always also freedom. And the freedom is to serve and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ that we never had before. It is not to go and do what you please. You can do what you please, but you suffer the consequences of it. So this freedom is not speaking to that. It's speaking to, Lord, you've given me an opportunity to use whatever it is that I might gain in knowledge and experience for you. And all of us are different. All of us have different levels of that. And we ought to use what it is that we know while we have the opportunity to do it. Because we've been given the freedom to do that. All right. In Galatians chapter 5, in light of what I've been saying, these things are, to me, are crucial. And I think you'll find out pretty quickly why. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, you know that the Judaizers had come into Galatia, and they had said, Paul was right. You need to receive Christ as your Savior, but he didn't go far enough. You need to be circumcised, and you need to keep the ceremonial law. And if you'll do that, then you'll be saved. Well, that was a lie. And so Paul is writing, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So whatever that yoke may be, don't let it entangle you. Verse 13, we have a restriction on our liberty, but we still have liberty. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the Lord has created us with value, dignity. He's given us the opportunity to be saved. And for those of us that have availed ourselves of that opportunity and received Christ as our Savior, he has set us free, and let's face it, free indeed, to serve him, to study his word, to learn, to have the Holy Spirit speak to our heart, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and to give out his word and to sing. I don't know, maybe your heart wasn't moved, but I think your heart, we're all moved tonight by these hymns that we sing. There was just something about what was taking place tonight that was to me, was very moving. All right? Now look, the victims of trafficking suffer great injury from horrible abuses. It can be a child that is left alone. I have said for years when we had more children and they'd go outside, don't go near the street. There's a reason I say that. And I've said to you parents or those that were watching kids, somebody needs to be out there. You can't, in this world, you can't think that somebody is not going to stop, open the door and pick up one of your kids. And so a child is left alone. Maybe he's by the street. Or in one occasion that I heard less than a couple of years ago, was next to the backyard fence, and a man stopped and said, hey, come here. He or she went back into the yard, closed the gate, and the man followed him. Fortunately, the child went into the house. Many solitary females, maybe in the right place or not, but at the wrong time, they just disappear. I was writing something. We were down at, we were eating somewhere, and I saw a young girl outside, and she looked like she was waiting for somebody. And for some reason, it just struck me to keep an eye on her. And so we were eating, and I kept looking, and she was there. And then suddenly she was gone. And I thought to myself, I hope somebody that she knew picked her up. But today you can't even assume that, because it happens that quick. The dental hygienist that I used to go to said she was running on 50. And there was a white van that started to follow her, kept its distance the whole time. And she turned around and just raced off somewhere else. She knew the possibility of what was about to happen. You can't live in a bubble and say, you know, that's not, nor can you live in fear. Others have been taken under false pretenses. People like to go up to Daytona and they like to run away, and people like to offer them, we can make you models and we can do this and we can do that. And they buy into that, and then they're shipped off to foreign countries. Never seen here again. And still others, victims within families, to suffer innumerable and harsh abuse. Their crime, they were born into the world. That's their crime. They were born into the world or married and now enslaved by people or by a person void of any empathy whatsoever. It's a horrible thing not to feel for somebody else. You say, I don't understand how anybody could do that. You just need to be around a certain class of people and you'll understand. They have no feeling none for anybody else. In Florida, we are the third leading state for human trafficking. That's not a good number. We're behind only California and Texas. Of the 100 larger cities in our country, Jacksonville is 48th. That is not a good number either. I mean, when you understand it, Brevard County is very active. The sheriff, it was either the sheriff or the Titusville police, said it's very active in human trafficking. Now, ingrained within human trafficking is an element of spiritual trafficking. Human trafficking has a spiritual component to it. So I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We know this is a warning to saved people. I believe it's a warning to any person. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. All right, keeping that in mind, go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Micah was in there a little bit this morning talking about Christ being the door. John chapter 10, in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You know, when you talk about salvation, you can understand this, but you can't relate this to heaven because he'll never make it into heaven. But they've made another way for salvation. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In Santeria, it's found down in Cuba, Caribbean, South America, Central America. It is a combination of spiritism, witchcraft, and Catholicism. One of the leaders, the priest, used his victim's beliefs against her. And so what he did is he came and he cut off a piece of her hair. And he placed it in wherever he placed it. And he kept it with him all the time. And he used that. And as a result, she stayed. She didn't try to get away. She obeyed. She followed him. She was miserably treated because she believed he had a part of her soul. This is how this works. Now, you say, well, this is really archaic paganism. You know, we're going to bring this really home here, and you're going to understand that these are things that are held over people where they're just terrified to do anything. In the mystery religions and the cults, once you are in, once you get in, there is great fear in leaving the group. There just is. It requires an excessive, the cult and these mystery religions, an excessive blind devotion to a person, to a group, or a belief system. Mind control and thought reform are used to maintain absolute control. Now, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. This is hard to understand unless you put this into play. Jeremiah chapter 5. Remember now, Jeremiah prophesied against Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. At one point, the Lord told Jeremiah not to pray for these people and not to even weep for these people. That's how hard-hearted they had become. And we read it in this particular section in verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? How can you explain that apart from they have been so manipulated and so dragged down that they don't know that there's anything else anymore, and so they have pleasure in what's taken place? Horrible, horrible things that are going on. Many of the people that are taken to the Middle East. Hard to understand. One such example, a woman was taken from her home in Africa and, quote-unquote, worked for an Islamic household. It was agonizing. It was painful. It was cruel. It was long hours. And one day she asked for some time to have her hands heal. They were enlarged. They were swollen. She couldn't even bend them. And so they gave her what was thought to be water to wash her hands. And they poured it generously over her hands. She held out like that. It wasn't water, it was acid. And then they sent her back to Uganda. All her fingers had to be removed. This is the fruit of human trafficking, although there's a spiritual side to this, obviously. There is a spirit, and I believe it's a satanic spirit, of fear that must remain present to keep someone in subjection. The cults use it. Pagans use it. Many people use it. 2 Timothy 1:7 is very important. But God has not given to us the spirit of fear. If there's fear, it has not come from God. And so therefore it has to come from another source. Because he says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Many instances of children within these bonds of trafficking have been asked why they didn't run away but stayed. Why didn't you get out? Why did you not do that? Their answers almost unanimously are, I was scared. I was afraid. Islam is an interlocking system of oppression. They tout themselves as a religion of peace. Now you need to open your eyes. Peace means to them, you obeyed their way. You subscribe to their way and you'll be at peace. They are not a religion of peace. You know, there's no drive zones in some cities up in Michigan. You know why? They're controlled by the Islamic Sharia law. There's no drive zones in London. Same thing. It is comprised of a religion, Islam, a religion, a caste system, and a culture. And so the trafficking, whether spiritual or physical, is used as a justification for the abuse, the torture, and the containment. They use that just to they explain it away. And it is this culture of coercion that makes it possible to maintain a system of slavery despite the fact that maybe secular law prohibits that. Secular law prohibits the Mormons from having 50 wives, don't they? Has that stopped the Mormons out in Utah, in Colorado? Secular law has prohibited nudity on Plyland Beach. Has that stopped the perverts and the deviants? No. So what good is the law if nobody obeys it and nobody enforces it? The Quran allows for a man to have 4 wives. He can have a 5th. But she is not allowed to have any status whatsoever of being a wife because there's never any actual marriage. She works for 0. nothing. She works for free. She's required to meet the sensual, sexual demands of the master of the house, and she has no social or legal protection. In Sharia law, the woman is nothing. Nothing. And I don't mean that in any stretch of the imagination other than a tool for the man. She has no rights. She has no liberties. She has no voice. And she has no dignity or no value. They are predators. There's no way around it. They're also outside that religion. And I'm sad to say this. In other faiths of countries, or our own country as well, of no faith whatsoever, that views women and treats women in the exact same way. No, nothing value whatsoever. Predators. Sexual, spiritual, human trafficking. Scientology. Now, Scientology is one of those jokes. But it's very serious. Their goal, their stated goal, is to free the planet of crime, war, and irrationality. And yet it is one of the most irrational cults on the face of the earth. All right, so they achieve their control, mind control, manipulation, and fear. There are two teenagers that joined the Sea Org. I don't know if you know what the Sea Org is. It's the Evangelical Recruiting Center of Scientology. And they didn't join together. They joined two or three years apart. During the course of the time there, they got married. They understood the disciplinary and ethical standards that they were required of them. Each of them worked 100 hours a week and received a $50 stipend. It's about 50 cents an hour, basically. And if their work was ever considered inadequate, then they were punished. And so the husband's work was considered inadequate. And so very quickly, they forced him to hand clean human excrement from a large aeration pond for 2 days. Then they censored his mail, monitored any phone calls, and had to ask permission to ever get on the internet. And during the course of time, the wife became pregnant. They forced her to have an abortion. And then later on, she got pregnant again. They forced her to have an abortion. All right, now I'm just touching the surface here. Other practices were obviously much worse. You're Mormons. If you live in a Mormon area, we went out to Cody, Wyoming. Everything out there was Mormon, just about. I worked for the man that owned Husky Oil, doing sheetrock. He was not in the country. He was doing missionary work over South America somewhere. But they controlled the economy of the area. And pretty much they would have a hold on your paycheck as well. If you were bold enough to back off and not be giving to them, they just don't say, you know, oh, that's really sorry. I'm sorry to hear about that. They come after you. And they have power to do that. Jehovah Witnesses, if they don't do what they do you know they're threatened by no second chance? They do what they do. They go door to door because they're thinking, we've got to do work. And in that work, if we don't do this, we may not have a second chance. Well, guess what? They're not going to get a second chance. That's nowhere. Other cults, similar tactics, always have the strangulation of a hold on people within the group. Apostate religions and apostate movements, the same thing. Whether it be Protestantism, whether it be Catholic whether it be Judaism, the three forms of Judaism, whether it be Calvinism, they all there's all some hold that's over people. All right, human trafficking and spiritual trafficking both are abuses. Serious abuses, and abuses play on fear, what you believe. And one of the worst things they do is there are people that will use this book, this Holy Bible, to accomplish their abuse by turning Scripture on its head. They are the worst. Yeah. You say, well, you should be loving toward these people. No, I believe that ye that love the Lord hate evil. All right, I hate what they do. Yes, Christ died for them. Could they be saved? I would hope so, but I think you've reached a reprobate position when that about to happen. They use that to justify their abusive behavior, even personally. Now, I liken this to being tantamount to abortion. But it's not an abortion that kills you. It is abortion that slowly destroys you. And may eventually kill you because it happens over and over and over and over again. Katie was telling me about a situation she can tell you better. About a woman that on PBS that had took the initial pill to induce an abortion and bragged about it, how happy she was. And she was going to take the next pill when the time was so that the baby could be out of her. Twins, wasn't it? Twins could be taken out of her body. All right. Well, to me, the human trafficking, the spiritual trafficking, especially since we're talking about the faith and so forth, all of this keeps going on and going on. And really, you haven't killed the body yet, but you're destroying any dignity, any value of life within until there's nothing left. Yes, the thief came to destroy and to kill. And that's what these people do. We've got to keep them from fulfilling their goal because they're keeping these people, these children, these boys, these girls, these men, these women, for fulfilling their lives. And if they're saved, their lives in Christ. It's a living hell, but outside the real hell. Ephesians chapter 5. Look here in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Somebody wants to justify their position, excuse their position. You tell them, prove to me that God is in this. Right. Prove it. You can say it, but prove it. Good. Because that's what it says. Look at the next verse. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We need to be a people that know, believe, and live the truth. And don't be scared to expose the lies. The longer we stay silent, the longer we do nothing, the more this spreads. Until it's most out of control. In Galatians chapter 1, we were there before. Understand that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, so that we could be saved, so that we could live a life that is honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could serve Him with everything that we have, either how much or how little, it doesn't matter, but just that we give Him what we can, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's sad that things like this go on. But the heart is desperately wicked. And we have to just stand where the truth is. Give it out. Let the chips fall where they may. I'm glad we're in a civilized country, but this civilized country of ours is acting like a third world to pagan country. We're defending the evil and condemning the righteous. We're calling evil good and good evil. We are, as a nation, that's what we're doing. Our laws are based on that. And it can't end well. We're asking, we're begging the Lord to bring judgment on this country. And it's coming, if it hasn't already come. Just beware. You have to be careful. You have to know the scenes around are so different. But yet, in many respects, they're the same as they've always been. Look what was happening back in Deuteronomy. They were kidnapping kids and selling them, making money on them. So nothing new under the sun. Just a little more prevalent now, because in paganism, you'll have more of this. And we need to call the shots the way they are. You can say anything you want about the faith, say anything you want about the scripture, say anything you want about salvation. The real test is the truth and your reaction to the truth. You can't tell any other way, because people will say anything today. So we need to be an empowered people and a diligent people and a praying people. Because there are so many we don't even know about that are wounded beyond recognition. And we may be the only ones that can give them any help whatsoever. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you, not as any great judges of human behavior, but as sinners saved by grace. Understanding that if the circumstances were to present themselves and we were not prepared, we were not strong in the faith, we could find ourselves in these same situations. We must be a praying people, a people that do not become hard-hearted as these predators have. And we must address not only the sin, but the crime and the truth. I just thank you for the opportunities that you've given to us already. I foresee that in the future, as our country continues to protect that which is wrong, that there'll be many more opportunities. And we need to convey the truth in no uncertain terms. And yet, if possible, to win them to that truth. But if not, the truth still needs to go forth. I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I don't know what you may be saying here this evening to us, but if any of us need to come and talk to you in prayer, I pray that we would. And if there's anyone here that's lost, that they would come down here, the invitation, let somebody show them how they can know for sure that they're saved. If there's anybody here that's not a member of this local church, been visiting for some time, good time to make your intent known to be a part of this church. And the same thing with being baptized after you're saved. Father, baptism doesn't save, doesn't help being saved, doesn't keep you saved. It is a identification with Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. So just have your way here tonight, and we thank you for it in advance. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading.
You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.